Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton.
This episode, we are going to compare joy versus happiness. And I think this is an interesting approach because when Donald first proposed this topic, he wanted to do it on happiness and I wanted to do it on joy. And we realized that they may not necessarily mean the same thing because we're taking it from two different approaches. So, Donald, why don't you talk about your idea? Because you initially said that happiness and joy, they're different topics. What do you think is the difference between the two?
Well, for me, the reason why I suggested this as a topic is I've seen a lot of people recently on Facebook feeds and talking to them in person that have, you know, said, I just want to be happy. And then they either are doing things or thinking along the ways that are completely in contrast to being happy. And I was like, we should do a happiness episode. And then when I suggest it to you, you're like, I'm not really interested in doing a whole episode just on happiness. Let's do one on joy. I'm like, they're not the same thing. And then you said, well, what's the difference? And basically, happiness is a state of mind, and joy is a state of emotion. That's the best way I can explain it for a really quick soundbite. What that means is that you can be happy without being joyful, but if you're joyful, you're automatically happy. Joyfulness is just more of an intense happiness.
So you're saying that joyfulness is inclusive of happiness, but happiness may not necessarily be inclusive of joyfulness.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can be happy without being joyful, but it's very difficult to be joyful without being happy.
You've got an example of that for us?
Let me see.
You have to have an example, because otherwise, you know.
I know.
It's like, oh, well, really? You're just making it up now.
Yeah, okay, so if you have a dessert that you that you enjoy, it's not the best dessert that you've ever had in your whole world, but at the same time, it's good, and you're like, ah, this is a good dessert. That's more along the lines of happiness, where if you have a dessert that you take one bite and it just feels like your whole body is like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever had in the whole wide world, that would be more joy. Another example would kind of be like, you see somebody doing an act of kindness for somebody, and it's kind of like, oh, well, that's nice. The difference between that and you actually doing the act of kindness for somebody that definitely reciprocates, you know, you were extremely helpful to them. There's that level of happiness, and then there's that level of joy. And these are all personal experiences, so I may not be giving the contrast that you're looking for, because to me, I'm very low key with that. So does that work for you, or are you looking for something more?
No, I see some of the components of what you're talking about there. What I thought was interesting is when you said you have an ice cream that you enjoy, and then the word joy is wrapped in the word enjoy, which you were tying to happiness. So it almost seems like joy is part of happiness as much as happiness is a part of joy. But you would say, not so much then.
Well, if you have to break it down, and that's one of the things with Western English language, is we do intertwine those ideas a lot. But when you break it down, it's kind of like there is a little bit of a difference. It's not a huge difference like in our episode Good versus Evil, where it's like, oh, this is evil over here and this is good over here. It's more like in just different shades of the same color.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does. However, what I wanted to bring up on that was when you were talking about the difference between happiness and joy, and you were describing happiness, it seemed to me more like pleasure. And I say that now we're talking about three distinctions. And happiness, you said joy is more emotion driven. Mm-hmm. And when you describe happiness, that seems more pleasure-driven. And what I will say is some people would say that there's no difference between happiness and pleasure. But if you're going to use emotions as a distinction, I would say that joy is emotional to a great degree, but I wouldn't say 100%. I would say that, yes, you can have happiness. I do believe there is emotion contained in happiness, so I might have a little bit of a difference in that. However, pleasure, I think pleasure is not necessarily an emotional state as much as it is a physical state.
So can you give an example of the difference between pleasure and happiness and pleasure and joy?
Let's see here. A difference between pleasure and happiness and pleasure and joy?
Yeah, just to get more of a contrast between what you're talking about.
Well, joy to me feels more like a state of being.
Mm-hmm.
I think a person could feel joy when it's when it just kind of is a bigger picture thing. It's an embodiment, like the joy of living, the joy of this or the joy of that. It's more of an umbrella feeling when you say this. You could say this brings me joy versus this makes me happy, and they feel different. This bringing me joy to me is a kind of a bigger thing. It just feels bigger. It encompasses more of a state of being. This makes me happy more gives me a particular emotion. And the emotion is a sense of just enjoyment. Where pleasure, this brings me pleasure, it stimulates my senses in a way that I like. Now, you may like something, it stimulates your senses and you may like it, but that doesn't necessarily make you happy. You see, it may be a diversion.
Okay, so I think I understand what you're saying. Pleasure is more of a physical thing, whereas what I said earlier, happiness is more of a mental thing, and then joy would be more of an emotional thing. Would that be, would you agree with that?
I think there's a lot of merit to that, yeah.
So, yeah, and to me, when I think about happiness, it just feels like contentment, not content.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference between happiness and contentment, yes. Like, for example, people say peace, love, and joy. And the interesting thing is that joy and peace are not synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could have peace without any emotion.
But you can't have love without any emotion.
Well, depends. Unconditional love would be without any emotion.
Can you have unconditional? Is unconditional love not emotional?
Well, it depends. It depends on how, what degree of. We talked about this in the love episode, but I think it depends on the purity of the love. And I think when love is an emotionally driven thing, like romantic love, it's one thing, or love for a child, that's one thing. But when you talk about a universal love, like the love of the divine, which is basically the acknowledgement, it's the namaste kind of idea.
Okay.
I think then that's a whole different thing. And that does not necessarily, that kind of love is a recognition of oneself in another. Where a romantic love is basically the reflection of the things you like about yourself in another, or that you love about yourself. In another, we're using the word to define the word. That's kind of cheating, isn't it?
Well, we're not English majors, I don't think so. I think it's okay, but yeah, we'd be marked off for that in a paper. So, but yeah, I like this kind of this trifecta of pleasure, love, and joy.
Let's open up the hatch. Jump down in the rabbit hole, follow Alice down, and take a look. What exactly is going on? What is it? I mean, I think we touched on it in the love episode and what we just said just now about what is joy, what is happiness, what is pleasure really on a big level? What is going on? Is it a spiritual thing, or is it just a bunch of neurons that are firing in a way that we draw ourselves to make it happen again?
It's all hormones.
There are a lot of people that believe that.
It's all...
The atheists will tell you that. Yeah, they will tell you that.
It's all different levels of dopamine and serotonin.
Yeah, and that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you that love is nothing but a autonomic physical... I don't know if it's autonomic. I don't know if I'm using that word right. So if I'm not, slap me. But if I am, they will say that it is a physical, biological response, and the emotions are basically driven and fueled by physical and biological response purely.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Right off the bat, I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. But there's part of me that's like, well, is it really because I always feel uncomfortable when I immediately agree with something, regardless of whether it's right or not.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm unable to come up with any idea right off the bat of like, well, what would be your difficulty with that? So basically, this is where I say, David, can you define that a little bit more so I can come up with something to, you know, come a response to that?
Can I define it a little bit more?
Yeah. Can you use like examples
of
what you just said?
If it's more than just a physical stimulation?
Yeah. So can you have happiness that is not physical?
I believe so.
And can you feel joy without having a physical component?
I think the purest sense of joy does not have a physical component, because then it's just pleasure and then step down a little bit more happiness.
Okay, so joyfulness and happiness do not absolutely require a physical component, but yet pleasure requires a physical component. To me, it's like pleasure is the one step, one millisecond, one little note away from happiness, because if you're having physical pleasure, wouldn't you also be happy?
No, and like I said earlier, no. Well, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say not necessarily, because there are cases that I would say yes, and there are cases where I would say no. And I'm going to give you the example of the addict.
Okay.
Who is seeking a high. They're seeking a high, and the high is giving them a physical pleasure at the time. But is it really happiness, or is it even joy? I would say not necessarily, because generally addiction is it's escapism.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're truly feeling joy, then what are you escaping? What are you escaping from? If you're happy, then when you're not in a state of being high, then is state of being high, it's its own state that is separate from being lucid. Where being lucid does not provide happiness. So you're escaping all the unhappiness that is occurring, or all the difficulty or the strife or whatever you want to say is fueling the drive for the addiction.
Well, wouldn't some people say happiness is happiness, and if you're happy, that's good?
Okay, if we say that.
I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, wouldn't some people...
That's a hedonistic viewpoint.
Well, yeah.
Well, and there is a whole subset of human beings that live by the philosophy of hedonism. And what that says, if that is the case, if happiness is happiness, and that's really the bottom line of it, then if something makes you happy, it doesn't really matter whether or not other people share in that happiness or not.
Do you need other people to share in your happiness to be happy in a positive way? Or can you just be happy for yourself? And because I look at it this way, over and over and over again, everyone says, it's your life, do what you will. No one else can live your life for you. But at the same time, if you're able to be happy and everyone else disagrees with the way that you're being happy, would that be... Well, I don't want to get into another good and bad argument. Well, in a hedonistic view, if you're being happy and you're content and you're okay with the way your life is, shouldn't that be like the thing that everybody strives for? That's the kind of like the thing that people are like, I just want to be happy. And then you, for all of a sudden you find happiness, but then you have all these naysayers going, oh, you're not living your life the way you should, and da 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 da. And how can you be happy all the time? And you're just fooling yourself. So, you know, where do you draw the line between your own personal happiness and involving the happiness of others?
I think then we need to use a different word.
Oh.
And here's where this is. Okay, the first part of that is, if your happiness, we're gonna go with happiness for now.
Okay.
If your happiness is your living your life and you're experiencing happiness, and other people see that you're happy, however they say, you may be happy, but that's not really the way, that's not what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
Then your happiness, and you change that, then your happiness is contingent upon other people's opinions and views and values. Well, then we're talking about two different definitions of what is happiness according to two different people. But then I say, if you're happy, so what? If that's what the bottom line is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, joy is a whole different thing. The more people are experiencing joy mutually and in cooperation, the greater and truer the joy is. It's like that old idea that joy shared is multiplied and sorrow shared is divided.
Oh, okay.
It's that same idea.
Yeah, so basically if you have a whole theater of people watching a really good movie that they're really enjoying, then they're all joyful. And that's better than just being happy. Or are we just going to leave the judgments of it's better than or should be or anything like that?
We can do whatever we want in this episode.
Yeah. I was curious because it seemed like, if I remember correctly, a few minutes ago, you were talking about the happiness of one and the happiness of others. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound right from what I understand. And then you just explained it with joy of yourself and joy with others. I'm like, that sounds more like how I understand it. And to me, this is one of the reasons why I suggested the whole idea of happiness is because, as a topic, is because it does seem to have one of those dichotomies where people, they inherently understand what being happy is, but yet they have no idea how to do it or what it's like. It's kind of like, you know, when you're happy, but you don't necessarily know how to constantly be happy over day in and day out and over again. And I'm going to pull from another project that you're doing for an example, if that's all right for you.
What is it?
One of the more recent posts that you had on the minister, my own minister, enjoying work.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I really liked how you said that, because you, just to really quickly paraphrase, you basically said, I love my job. I love my job. I'm happy at my job. But today, at this moment right here, I'm not having a good time.
Oh, okay. So let me touch on that. That, if you look at that whole concept, you can experience joy and there can be moments within that joy that you're unhappy.
Mm-hmm. So you can be unhappy in joy?
Oh, sure. I believe so. If you say, okay, I enjoy my life.
Okay.
I enjoy the lifestyle I live. Well, within there, there's going to be points where if you said, well, you know, you do have to take out the trash every week or every other week, depending on your schedule. Do you enjoy that? No, I don't enjoy taking that trash. It's a chore. Then can you say that person does not enjoy their lifestyle? That's part of their lifestyle. Their lifestyle requires them to take out the trash so they don't have a stinky kitchen or wherever you keep your trash. So, I mean, you see what I'm saying here? If you look at, that's why I say joy feels like a bigger picture to me, because you can have all these little moments interlaced in there that are not necessarily what you would consider the best and most fun things to do, things that you actually think are a drag, but that doesn't compromise the true overarching joy that one has experienced, where it's like, does taking out the trash make you happy? No, I don't like it. Well, then there's that. So
I think that right there, from what you said, is one of the issues that we're kind of talking about, because I'm assuming that we're coming from living in the moment idea of happiness and a living in the moment idea of joy and a living in the moment idea of pleasure, where it's just right now, just this second. Well, what you're talking about is we can also look at it in a big picture where we bring in a whole lifetime, or, you know, days, weeks, hours, months, years, decades, and basically have a overall, are you happy with your life? Yes. Are you happy with your life right at this moment? Well, I'm taking out the trash, so maybe not so much. You know, it's that kind of thing where it's the difference between being happy or joyful or in pleasure in just this second and just this moment, as opposed to on the long term, in the past, present, and future.
Let me ask you this, because we're putting such this weighted, heavy value on happy, and that's, you know, I hear this all the time. Well, I don't hear it all the time, but I hear every now and then, I hear people will say, well, you know, I just want to be happy, or I just want this person to be happy. And is that the goal? I remember when I was a, I'll share a little story. I remember when I was a teenager, I wasn't doing very well in school, And not because I couldn't, because I didn't. I just didn't care.
Did the
I
same mean, thing.
Yeah, I just, my classes were whatever, so I didn't care. I could ace them, but they just bored me. So I just threw it away, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And my mom was getting on me for my grades failing. You have so much potential. You could do so much better. Da 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 da. You know, I'm sure you heard all that.
Mm-hmm,
but
yeah.
But she says, so what do you want to do? How are you going to get into college if you don't improve your grades? I'm like, what if I don't want to go to college? I told her, which, you know, I might as well have just smacked her with, a thing with a bunch of barbs coming out of it. And she looked at me and she's like, well, do you you want to be uneducated for the rest of your life? And I was like, she says, what do you want with your life? I said, I just want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you could rob banks. Would that make you happy? And so she, all of a sudden, there became the value in that when she made that statement. It was a matter of challenging my happiness based on my contribution to society or whatever value you want to put on it. And I think that's what happens with this whole idea of being happy is I just want to be happy. How often do you hear that versus I want to be content? I want to be peace. And I'll tell you this too. I remember when I was younger and I suffered from depression, I would have these ecstatic moments and I would have these depressing moments. And I remember I was in counseling and they said, you know, we can actually give you some medicine so you can, you know, so you won't feel this debilitating depression. And I said, no, I don't want to do that because then that means I have to give up the highs. So what is happiness there? Is it like, is that really the objective or is content being the objective? And why? Why is happiness, it almost seems hedonistic. It almost seems like that, like you said, when you were talking about being in the moment, being happy in the moment, then if you look at your life as a bunch of happinesses, does the unhappiness have to come with it? Or is contentment, like we talked about in the polarity and rhythm episode, is contentment really kind of going to give you the best of both worlds or is it not? I mean, chime in.
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's one of the ideas that I was originally thinking about when I suggested the topic it's like, I just want to be happy. Or a lot of people say they just want to be happy, but at the same time, they may be content with their life and like, well, I'm not happy. I'm just content. And I'm like, well, isn't that kind of like the stepping stone to happiness?
No.
And you say no. And to me, I see them very synonymous, but not exactly. Kind of like the difference between happiness and joy is a difference between contentment and, you know, and happiness. There's kind of like a hierarchy. It's like first you're content, then you're happy, and then you're joyful. Lowest denominator to highest denominator. And I think a lot of people that I and a lot of to a lot of degree myself for a long time, I was happy being content and not really doing anything to go out to make myself more than content.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, see, there again, I think you're back in value judgment mode. Because if you're content, that means you do not want for lack. You say, to me, it's like, if you're content, I'm good. Okay, I'm good.
Well, isn't that happiness?
This will do me. It is happiness. But to say, then that breaks down what you said when it says, or that breaks what you said when you said, there are people who are content, but they want to be happy. I'm like, well, if you're not happy, how could you be content? And I think one of the value judgments is the whole thing of ambition that we tend to hear about. You know, it's we have to, you got to accomplish this and you got to achieve this. You got to leave your mark. You've got to have your name etched into something indelibly before your flame gets snuffed out. And that's this whole thing. And I think that when we compare ourselves to movie stars and, you know, these great authors and people whose names are in bright lights, we say, I'm content, but should I be content? Is it okay to be content? And then we're almost discontent in our contentedness, very similar to what you said near the top of the episode when you said, what if you're happy and then you hear everybody else saying, well, why are you happy in this situation? You shouldn't be.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of what you're talking about with the whole value judgment. And I think you can be content in certain areas of your life and happy in other areas of your life. And so I don't see that so much as a either or type thing. I think I see it as modern world has broken our lives down to these different areas. Like, well, we have our job and our money. We have our leisure time. We have our families. And it's like, well, I'm happy with my family. I'm content with my finances, and I'm okay with my leisure time. And it's kind of like, you know, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there a little bit, where when you're talking about these three things of pleasure, happiness, and joy, I can see now what you're talking about, where it's like, well, you can be joyful and not and still kind of depressed in another area. And I think it's not exactly what you said earlier, but that's kind of along the same lines. Does that make sense? Or is that,
I know what I said was, is that you can be experiencing joy on a level, but within that joy, you may have times where you are unhappy or discontent or displeased.
So is there possible to be happy all the time, or should we follow the cultural idea of, hey, you know, should we strive for happiness at all costs all the time? Or should we just, you know, say, allow ourselves to be a little bit more, quote unquote, realistic and follow the herd and, you know, grow up, go to college, get a job, get a house, you know, and do that and say, well, this will make you happy or this will make you content. I'm like, okay, what if it doesn't?
Well, here's what's interesting about that. Okay, first of all, what the example we used was basically, your happiness is contingent on whether you go along with what everybody else thinks you ought to be doing with your life or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a cross-section of the whole thing. I don't know that that's a really big picture thing. I think it's more the idea of, this is where I want to bring joy into this whole thing, that if we're happy, like you, and actually, you know what? Let me go back to the question you asked. Can you be happy all the time? Is it okay to be happy all the time?
Yes.
Well, I think it's not possible. And the reason I say it's not possible, because if you strive for a permanent state of happiness, then you're going to be disappointed, because life doesn't work that way. So you'll be disappointed in your own disappointments. It just doesn't. I mean, unless you say, you know, I'll be happy if someone loved one of mine dies, which, like I always say, unless you go first, someone you love is going to die, and you're going to have to deal with that. And I don't know many people that say, you know, I was happy throughout that whole time. So, sorry, it's going to happen. Things are going to happen. You're going to have a problem paying a bill. You're going to lose your job. You're going to change your address. You're going to have divorces or breakups or whatever else. There's all these things that are going to happen, and they're not going to be able to be neatly filed under H for happy. So if that's what you're shooting for, you've already lost, in my opinion.
And I think that's kind of what one of the feedback that we had a few episodes ago, they were talking about, you know, if I always think that the worst is going to happen, then when the good happens, I feel much better about it. And if the negative happens, then I'm like, well, it's not too bad. I was expecting it to happen. And do you remember that feedback that we had?
Mm-hmm, I sure do.
And so it sounds like that's what you're talking about right there. It's just like, well, expectations, whether we focus on the good or focus on the not so good, seems to be a crutch for happiness or not happiness. Because if we focus, what you said is, if we focus on being happy, then we're going to be live a life full of disappointment. But if we never let ourselves expect anything good, then when the good happens, we can be happy about it. One of the things I'm looking for is ethical, moral belief idea, because a lot of people believe that happiness is a good thing to strive for. And I'm like, is it? Maybe, maybe not. Depends. Who are you? You know, that whole idea. Does that make sense to you? Or am I kind of going a little off the reservation a little bit?
No, actually, you are. I don't think you're going too much off the reservation. And I think this is a great place to bring joy back into it. If we look at, like, the whole idea of striving to be happy, as it were, because life is what life is. We can't be happy all of the time. there are people who would say, if you can't be happy all of the time, just don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
Then at least when the negative happens, you're not going to be impacted. It's like when the EMTs always tell somebody when something's going to hurt so it doesn't catch them off guard, but it doesn't make it hurt any less. It's just that they weren't caught off guard necessarily. So there are these pessimists that take that road. Well, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. Jeez Louise. You know, as far as joy goes, it's the difference. Here's the best way I could put it. If you're going for happiness, well, what would make me happy? If I had this well-paying job that brought me all this money and then I could do all these things and then I would be happy. Those are the things that make me happy, right? So you're going for these things, and when you don't get the pay scale you want or the job you want or all the amenities from it you want, then apparently you're not going to be happy. To me, joy is, this is what I want to do and I'm going to go for it. You fail. But you were enjoying doing it in the process, so it doesn't feel like a failure because this was your joy. You see what I'm saying? So joy is almost like a constant state of being, where happiness seems like it's this like, oh, I hit and then check this box, and then I hit and I check this box, and now I can say I'm happy, rather than just letting it. It's almost like you trying to pass through the good feeling state rather than the good feeling state passing through you, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think one of the examples I was thinking about, one of the examples I was thinking about when you were saying that is kind of like a theater actor on stage, and the rehearsing, dress rehearsal and everything, and this person just really gets an enormous amount of satisfaction, and I'm going to say joy, from being on stage, learning lines, acting, being part of a group, telling a story. You know, let's say that they're doing rehearsals and they forget their line or their brain just completely blanks out. Well, in that moment, if I understand what you're saying correctly, in that moment, they're not happy. They're frustrated. They're stressed out. But if you look at the whole experience of being part of that play, it brings them a lot of joy to be part of that whole experience. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes, and I'm going to piggyback on that because I like it. I think it's great. I think it's a great analogy. In fact, I know actors that are very much that way. I've done shows with actors who they love acting and they live to act and they are constantly acting. But when they have a bad night, you don't want to be around them. It was just, oh, I didn't do that. I just phoned it in on this and I wasn't present for this. And you're like, oh, okay. Let me know when you're good. I'll be back. But otherwise, I'm going to keep my distance. The thing about it is they still continue to move toward the craft of acting. That doesn't stop them. They don't like those bad moments. They don't want those bad moments. But there's a takeaway for them. And the good actors become great actors because those bad moments happen, and then they say, "What's in the bad moment that I can bring with me? Mm-hmm. What is in that? What is the part of that?" And then you find joy in an overarching sense from the little tiny tragedies that happen, because the tragedies taught you how to stay on track, or taught you how to find the joy in the moments in between the tragedies. And kind of, a greater sense of joy.
And the word that I keep hearing when you're saying that is appreciation.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like it allows the contrast when things are, you know, hitting the fan. That contrast of, oh my goodness, everything is hitting the fan. And I remember when it wasn't, and I like the feeling of when it wasn't, so I'm going to move myself internally, mentally, and emotionally back to that, kind of like back to that area of we'll take this stuff away from the fan so it can't hit it, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll get back into what we love about whatever we're doing. You know, it's kind of like if you're a musician, there's musicians that love to actually be on stage and playing an instrument. That is pure heaven for them right there. There's other musicians that just enjoy the creation of a song, creation of music. And it's like, I get into a groove and the music just flows, you know, through me out into my instrument, and there it is. And I think that's kind of like what you may have been referring to in your blog, My Own Minister, where you're saying this contrast of this, you know, me having a kind of a bad day at work allows me to appreciate the good days even more because it allows that contrast. Would that be correct, or is there something there that you're thinking about differently?
Well, I think those were pieces of it in that episode of that podcast. Yeah, those were components of it. That was really more of a just kind of a how am I dealing with that particular situation, because the situation was right there and right raw, and I was face to face to deal with it, where all this, you know, philosophical stuff didn't really apply. So
that's the thing though. That's the thing. When you're right in the thick of it, I mean, people can tell you anything and everything, and it's like, no, I just need to work through this, and it's going to take however long it's going to take. And it's kind of like the reverse, or the other side of the coin that we were talking about earlier, where if, you know, hey, I'm happy in life. Well, why are you happy? What are you doing? Why are you so, what do you have to be so happy about? And this is kind of like, I'm not happy. Well, you should be happy. There's so much to be happy about. And, you know, it's
however, like, however, the biggest problem I have is, and this, you just remind me of something that I was thinking of. When you hear people saying you should be happy, da, 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 they're not very good models for that. They're the worst models in the world. When somebody's telling you how you need to be lived your life to ensure that you'd really be truly happy, then it's the naked man trying to sell you a shirt is what's going on. Once somebody's sitting there giving advice, that's a true sign that they're not happy in their own lives. And what is interesting about that to me, it's why do we see these people giving advice to other people on how they need to be happy if they're not happy? Why do they do that? It's almost like it's evidence that it is joy is joy shared is multiplied.
Yeah, I think that goes along the whole lines as misery likes company. And so if the person giving the advice to, you know, be happy is the one that's least happy, then they want to find a common ground with you emotionally. So it's like, I see what you're talking about when you're there. I was like, I'm not that happy with my life, but you're less happy than I am, and I don't want to go any lower in my happiness, so I'm going to at least bring you up to my level of happiness.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think it's, if a person's not satisfied with the state of their life, when they're saying you should do this and you will be happy, even though you seem to be happy, if you say, oh, I'm happy anyway, and they say you would be happier, what it is it's a way of trying to match, they want your vibration to match their unhappy vibration. So they bring you down, because if you could be happier, then you have to be less happy than you think you are now. That'll match theirs. They could take the sorrow and divide it, so they could feel a little bit better because you feel a little less better.
Ah.
And so, I mean, that's the whole thing about joy is I believe that joy is contingent upon a mass mutual state of happiness, of being, I'm going to use the word content. I don't know if it's the best one to use in this scenario, but I'm going to use it. And I say that because let's look at the robbing bank scenario, or even the serial killer scenario. They're getting pleasure and some kind of perverse, to say the word very pointedly, joy out of committing crimes against other people, violent crimes against other people. We would say, are they really committing a joy, or is it a compulsion? What's going on? But they do it. There is this sense of pleasure that they get from it. It is pleasure on their own behalf at somebody else's expense, at somebody else's displeasure or unhappiness. So is that joy? I don't think so.
But is it happiness?
I think it's pleasure. I don't think it's happiness.
So it's pure, raw, physical pleasure.
I think so.
Yeah. I did have something else that came to mind when you were talking right there. I was like, if we're looking at joy, one of the things that I'm curious to get your idea on, because you hear all the time, or you hear a lot of the time, that joyfulness is infectious. And that seems to go along right with what you're talking about, where, you know, a couple of people being joyful can infect others around them with joyfulness. You know, is that always the case, or is that a sometimes case, or is that one of those things that the person has to be in the mood to be joyful?
I think it's an openness rather than a mood.
Okay.
Because what really makes joy joy as opposed to happiness and pleasure is that, like I had said earlier, it's a reflective property. And it's like when you talked about love. It's that same idea. It's when you're feeling joy because your joy is radiating, it brings another person happiness, and it's that they're reflecting back your own value, your own inherent, let's, you know, divinity or whatever you want to call it, that you're reflecting back to them that thing, that precious, priceless thing about ourselves that makes life so beautiful. So when that happens, it's because we're open to that, because there is a part of us that wants to acknowledge it. If you come across someone that doesn't, they don't necessarily want to acknowledge it, so they'll be closed to that. And what they probably will do is remove themselves from the joyful situation because they don't want that beautiful part of themselves reflected back, because they're not, it's not resonating with them. They're not connecting to it.
And, you know, there's also parts of people that this part of myself is not, what you said, resonating with. It's not a joyful thing for me. It's kind of like an annoying thing, like, for me. I know we were talking before we started recording, and I went to about one of the groups that I went to where it was much more structured in the law of attraction area, and it was much more of a mastermind. It was a mastermind group, and for those of you that know what that is, that you'll know, look it up if you're curious. And one of the things I said is the structure I was not thrilled with. I mean, it seemed very cheesy, and I think the term I used was it was too 1980s, or I said it was too new agey, but I'm going to add the it's too 1980s new agey, where it's like, come touch the crystal and your day will be brighter type thing. And to be honest, and looking at that whole the few times that I went to that, it had some value. I just was not open to the structure and format that it was doing. At the same time, there was part of me that was saying, well, you want stuff, don't you? Isn't this like advanced law of attraction stuff to where that you actually work really well on it? And this is when my own self-doubt started coming in, like, well, if you don't find this attractive, and this is what has helped a lot of other people all over the world, then what's wrong with you? I think that's one of those things where a lot of people's happiness gets short-circuited when you allow these self-doubts and stuff to come in and, you know, basically say, you know, why aren't you happy? Why aren't you doing what you're doing? Well, how do you get happy? You haven't, in, you know, 30-plus years of living on this earth, you haven't figured out to be happy, but you find happiness quite a bit, quite often. So, you know... I find that interesting, where it's just a lot of personal stuff where you're talking about being open to joy and being open to happiness, and yes, we'll add being open to pleasure as well. If you're closed off to it, you're not going to get it. But at the same time, there's different ways that people are comfortable with opening up to it. I mean, not everybody's going to open up to happiness and joy and pleasure the exact same way and have it work well for them.
And if they're not, so what?
Exactly. And that's where a lot of people, I think, when they say they want to be happy, get stopped up, where they start looking outside of themselves and they're like, well, okay, who's happy that I can...
But then again, here we go. We're talking about people wanting to be happy again. Why is it they want to be happy instead of wanting to find peace or wanting to find contentment or wanting to find joy? Why is the focus on being happy? That's the interesting question here.
So I think we'd have to look into a cultural aspect of why did that become such a big thing culturally? When did we start saying, I just want to be happy or... You know, I don't necessarily want to follow the same life path that my parents did. I just want to be happy, and I'm going to go out and find where that happiness is. I mean, that sounds very 60s, you know, 60s hippie social change type thing. And is that where it happened? Or, and before then, it was just like, we have a job to do, we get up, we go to work, we come home, we provide for a family. If you're a guy, if you're a woman, you make sure the house and everything is clean, and, you know, that very Norman Rockwell type thing. So is that where that whole social change happened, is in the 50s and 60s?
I don't think so. I think it's been a long evolution coming up to this point. But I think it's a symptom of a societal structure. We have a society that has a structure, and that we all basically function to create the society in one way or another. It doesn't matter what the way is. All of us are functioning in the society in a specific role in a specific way. The society is calling on certain things as far as what the function is. What does the society kind of seem to be centered around? And if you look at Western culture tends to idolize things like high profile athletes, mm-hmm. celebrities. Celebrity is highly profile, is highly glamorized. And if it's not celebrity, it's wealth. So we're looking at celebrity and wealth, and what we do is we say that this is the pinnacle of value. So what we do is we say, the closer we are to that, the greater our value that we have. So we say we're constantly measuring ourselves against that. So when we see this sense of, well, I'm not really all that, either I don't have nearly only a fraction of the money that these wealthy people do, so I must have a fraction of the value that they do, or a fraction of the number of people are singing praises about my abilities, whether it's music or television and movies or sports, then all of a sudden we have the fraction of value of them. So it's, to me, that's what it seems like. It's, I want to be happy, but here is the definition of happiness. To be happy, you need to be rich and or famous.
Mm.
So if you can do one of those two things, preferably both, you're going to be happy. How many, you know, the whole winning lottery number thing. But if you're so far away from that, I just want to be happy. Are these people really saying, I want to be rich and famous? I think a lot of people are saying, I want to find the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do, and everything breaks because they're you know, putting all their eggs in that basket. Rather than, like you said, looking at the blessings. There are so many blessings. And I'm like, wow, you know, there are people who have less than you and are happier than you. So where's the math upside down on this?
Yeah, so it sounds like happiness is completely a matter of perspective.
I think it can be. I think it can be a moving target. I think it can be real. But yeah, I think you're right.
So, because one of the things I've heard, especially over the past few years, is, and from the first time I heard it was Dr. Wayne Dyer. And, you know, he says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And to me, that this is, from what you were saying right there, that's a whole perspective thing. And what we were talking about in the previous episode, where you related the story of the farmer whose horses ran away, and then the horses came and the people were like, oh, that's so sad that you lost your horses, and they ran away. And he's like, maybe.
Right.
And then they came back and with a whole bunch of wild horses, which was really good. And he's like, oh, you look at your wealth and look at your luck and everything. And he's like, maybe. Would you say that in that story, the farmer is content and that leads to his happiness, or is he not happy?
I don't know if it's either. I don't think we can speak for the farmer, but what we can say is that it's a moving target. If he was striving for happiness, he would have been disappointed when these seemingly negative things happened. If he had been truly pessimistic and expecting the negative, when the positive things happened, he would have never really experienced them for what they were. So I think it's more just in a state of moment by moment, like you said before. Because if we look at joy, if you look at joy just as, if you look at like a span of time, a span of your life is comprised of a series of moments. The bad things that happen, let's give, based on perspective, like you say, the bad things that happen, you'll give a black pearl. The good things that happen, you give a white pearl. And if you string them all together to create this span of life, how many black pearls are there and how many white pearls are there? And if you constantly forget to put the white pearls on the string because you haven't really done any appreciation of those things, you're going to have a string of black pearls. But it's only because of the perspective you're choosing at the time. You're just grabbing black pearls and stringing them because you say these bad things always happen. Or I would have a string of white pearls if somebody gave me all the things that I needed to be happy. Interestingly enough, you have people say, this makes me happy, where you have people say, this brings me joy. Why is there a difference? It's you give power to that thing that is making you happy. All of a sudden, this whatever is making you happy, that's what's holding all the tools. If another thing is it's bringing me joy, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm basically accepting what's being brought to me. I'm holding out my hands. I'm putting my hands around it, and I'm pulling it into me. That's where I think those two statements, I think, really shows the depth of happiness versus the depth of joy.
Are those things worth aspiring to have on a regular, more often type experience? Or are those things that are just, you know, flights of fantasy? Basically, are we able to be happy or joyful or have pleasure with much more white pearls than black pearls than in our life over a long term than negative experiences and sorrow and depression and sadness?
I think so. It like you said, it is perspective. It is a matter of the road traveled rather than the destination. It's totally about that.
But is that something that we should strive for? I mean, this is the kind of the whole ethical thing, because culturally, it's kind of like, well, a lot of people say they want that, but is it one of those things that is a positive aspiration to focus on, or does focusing on it, like what you said earlier, basically set you up for sadness when you start comparing yourself to people that you think are happy, such as the rich and the wealthy? And therefore, you're literally setting yourself up for sadness. I had a friend who I was talking with over the past couple of weeks. They're very negative in a lot of the ways that they think. And so, you know, I was basically talking to him. I was like, well, you know, happiness is a choice. And they were just like, happiness is not a choice. And the next person I hear who says that, I'm going to wring their neck. I'm like, but it is a choice. And my whole focus was, when your perspective is one that starts looking for the opportunities to be happy, then that is your choice that you make. And it was really interesting, because after a few days, they'd gotten to a point where they're just like, oh yeah, I want to be happy. So I'm going to try this whole perspective thing. And I think it was like a day later, they had car trouble that had to cost them a few hundred dollars, and they were just like, see, every time I start being happy, negative things, really bad things happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, if that's a belief you have, then you're probably going to be having a self-fulfilling prophecy with that. And so that's the whole idea that I'm looking at, is if we focus on being happy, but we have beliefs that being happy is wrong and that affects us negatively, is happiness still something to strive for?
Well, I have a huge issue with that question.
Okay.
I cannot tell anybody the answer to that. That's the problem with this, is that you did say, should we be happy? I'm like, well, I don't know. That's not for me to say, because there are a lot of people that believe that we are here to learn to experience joy. A lot of people believe that that is the purpose of human existence, to experience joy. My belief is it is to experience. It is to experience the true divine nature that we are. The divine nature that we are is we create our reality. And if that's the experience, we may choose to create a reality that doesn't have much fun in it. From what our own perspective, we may be the person that says bad things always happen to me, and then the bad things continue to happen. But that might be the exploration of their own godness, of their own divinity. They may be choosing that route to explore. They may be manifesting and creating all these events because that's how they explore their own divinity. So who am I to say that, yeah, oh, they should go for the happy? Maybe that would rob them of an extremely valued part of existence. Or if you look at the sum total of humanity, living, dead, and have yet to be born, and all of these experiences sum told are all of the bazillion experiences that the divine wants to have, who am I to say to the divine, yeah, no, you need to skip this one? What? Really? So, yeah, I can't say that. And that's the thing about the conversation with joy and happiness, that whatever it is, you got, it's a matter of finding your own path. I think the best thing you can do, we can do, is acknowledge our divinity and understand and grapple with and find this creative juice. And I think within that, the joy will come. But how to do it and to tell people that they should find the joy, I think it's allow them to find it in themselves. And if they don't, say, you know what, I applaud the fact that you did what you felt you needed to do with the life that was given to you and you alone, and that I can't really tell you what to do with. So,
yeah, I actually agree with that myself. I was just curious to what your whole take on that whole thing was. And I think the last thing I want to do as we're kind of closing up around here is, can you basically say again what briefly the what pleasure is, what happiness is, and what joy is, and with basically giving a little why one is different from the other. In other words, pleasure is dot dot dot, and it's different from joy because dot dot dot, or happiness or what. So that you know, we can kind of close up with kind of like, well, what have we been talking about for an hour?
You tell me. I don't know what we're talking about. We're just going on talking. The pleasure, I see pleasure as a physical stimulation that we like, that we're attracted to, that we're drawn to, that we seek out. That's the way I'm looking at it. And that can be dissected all day long, but for the sake of this discussion, that's what I see pleasure as. I don't see that it can be bring you happiness. It may not. Happiness, I see as a state of being pleased, I would say. I would say happiness would be the result of finding pleasure in that moment. I see happiness as more of a what happens in the moment. And I see joy more as this sense of being good with that beingness and feeling right in alignment with who we are. I think when we do find moments of joy, it's because that's when we are most in alignment with who we are unquestioningly. And we're overwhelmingly good with it.
Yeah. And I liked what you had said earlier, where happiness is something that you go out for and you look for, and joy is something that you just allow to flow through you. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but I like that, how you that statement where it's like, yeah, happiness is something that happens to you, and joy is something that happens through you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, you allow joy to go through you, or the happiness is you. I don't write down anything I say. I don't remember what it is, but thank goodness we can always re-listen to these things. But yeah, I remember what you. I remember making the statement. I just don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I think that was a statement in and of itself, right there.
Oh, okay. Yay, I did it.
I think you had some. You added a bunch of stuff to it, but
oh, I probably put doll clothes on it. I'm sure I dressed it up and put a little tutu on it. I'm sure I did. I tend to do that kind of stuff.
And took it to recitals and everything.
Yeah, put it in little positions and look at me.
Oh my goodness! I can just see you. You know, having a mental image of your happiness, like, you're going to be a star. Here's your pink tutu.
Yeah, here's your little tutu. I'm going to do up your hair.
Wow, your happiness has hair. That's cool.
Yeah, my happiness has all sorts of weird.
Cool.
Very good.
So David and I would like to thank you for tuning in and listening to this episode. If this is your first episode that you've listened to, we hope you've enjoyed it. And if you're a longtime listener, we thank you for your patronage and hope that we are able to continue to bring interesting and exciting and mind-stretching ideas to your life and your mind.
And if you want more, if you want to find more episodes that we've recorded, come over to our website, which is taketheredpillpodcast.com. All of our episodes are listed, as well as the show notes, where we elaborate on things within the episode. And we also have a Facebook presence, where you can find us at TTRP Podcast. And you can find us on iTunes. Just type in Take the Red Pill in the podcast section, and boom, we'll show up there. You can leave feedback on all of those venues. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your comments on episodes, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, or whatever.
Definitely, definitely. So for Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you to find your happiness in your joy.
Ooh, nice. I was going to do something like that.
We're on the same wavelength. You can say the same thing. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, I'm just going to say, and I'm David Deere, and I'm happy with what Donald said.
Oh, I like that.